Morning, and welcome to episode 11 of the Reticule Presents Installing the Disk. Yes, we're back with Installing the Disk, the video game podcast that shows up fashionably late.
Yeah, many reasons for that. Probably we won't discuss them, but what we will mention is this is the Installing to Disk Olympic special.
Well, yeah, it's special in the fact that we're ignoring the Olympics to do it, but I don't think any other... We're not going to bring in any other... Unless you've got plans for the rumour room, like you've got to put up some bunting.
Well, no, I was just, you know, getting the spirit. Have you watched any of the Olympics at all?
I have indeed. A bit of handball, a bit of football.
I bet you're into that, aren't you?
Football or handball?
Handball.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Hmm.
It's a good game.
Yep.
Good game.
I discovered this morning, though, whilst that Dave currently showing Robot Wars repeats, and even that happened about 12 years ago, I am quite interested to see what happened to Bigger Brother, the robot there. So even though the Olympics is quite current, you know, Robot Wars might win overall.
Yes, the video game podcast, as always topical, Installing to Disk. On this week's episode, we have... In the news, we have developers' reactions to Windows 8. In the rumor room, we've got more details on the PlayStation Super Slim. In the retro roundup, James has been playing Wolfenstein 3D. And finally, we will have our games of the week, which you'll be able to find out what they are later on.
Because we forgot to discuss them beforehand.
Precisely. So let's kick things off with... The news. Sony Games Division have posted an operating loss of $45 million due to declining software and hardware sales. So yeah, any comment on Sony losing a lot of dough?
I blame home.
Blaming home is always a good excuse. It's interesting to see that the Vita sales have been buoying Sony's profits slightly, well, negating their losses slightly, but... Declining sales in the PSP, obviously, and the PlayStation 3. But it's not to be a surprise so much, because everyone I know who's ever going to buy a PS3 already owns one.
Yeah, I've got one.
Ubisoft have been forced to release a patch for their Uplay service following a security flaw that allowed people to remotely control PCs running it. This is Ubisoft's DRM for PCs that is... supposed to stop pirates, but what it did...
Yo-ho diddly-dee!
Indeed. But what it also did was install a PC... a browser extension that apparently opened up a backdoor to your computer. So, let's just go through the things that Ubisoft have done wrong here. First of all, mandatory DRM, which was... when I played Unearthed 2070, it actually stopped me from playing the entire game because of the DRM. Secondly, it installed a browser extension without telling you, so that's two strikes. And thirdly, it basically made it entirely possible for people to steal your PC from under your fingertips.
Shall I tell you what my opinion of this?
Pardon? Yeah, go for it.
I installed Uplay last week.
I did as well. Anno 2070.
Yes, because... of Driver San Francisco, is mm-hmm. it? The recent one that was in the sale on Steam. Yep. Uplay, I'm not... Come on. I think I decided I was going to play Driver at... I think it was about 7 o'clock, and I actually started the game about 8:15 by the time everything finally worked, and I'd managed to log in and do various things. It was telling me that if I had 10 Uplay points, I could get some crappy wallpaper, which... massive incentive there. But all this kind of... all that kind of stuff, not really bothered. I'm watching the Olympics right now with the rowing, and the Great Britain people are doing all right. Sorry. Olympics special.
So, yes, I have to agree, because I downloaded Anno 2070 in the Steam sale, and the fact that I had DRM on it as well, since I bought it from Steam, was annoying in itself. But the fact that it didn't allow me to log on to their servers for, like, 3 days meant that I just essentially wasted my money for a while. Fortunately, they got it sorted out, so...
Cool.
Game developers have been lining up to slam the new Windows 8. Minecraft creator Marcus Notch Persson has stated it will be bad for indies, while Gabe Newell has gone further, stating it will be bad for everyone in the PC space.
Gabe Newell has gone further by saying it will be bad for every single living organism on the planet.
A guy from Blizzard also stated that will be bad for Blizzard, so Windows 8 does not look like it's lining up to be good for anyone who's enjoying gaming.
And why exactly is this?
Windows 8 is the upcoming OS.
And what's implemented in it that people are disliking?
It's more the restrictive nature of it. It's a really closed system.
Because am I right in saying that, I think I might have read it somewhere, but there's going to be much more of an emphasis on Microsoft's own game kind of app store thing going on, which would really hurt Steam and other people.
But yes, those were your three news stories for this episode.
Should we move on to rumours then?
Yeah, we're not going to come up with a decent segue because we've got nothing, so on to the rumours.
Oh, I've thought of a segue that we can use. Yep. Yeah, this is brilliant. This is absolutely fantastic. I'm going to go down in history for this. Segway, this is our Olympic special. Did you see the cameraman on the Segway during the opening ceremony? I did. That's a Segway. Here's the rumours.
Just do the rumours, James.
Yeah. So, a few of you might be asking, what rumours have been going on in the past fortnight, 3 weeks, however long it's been? And the truth is, well, sod all, basically.
It's that time of year. Everyone's out there sunbathing and watching the Olympics.
I don't know what they're doing. There's not a great deal going on. Firstly, new job listings have appeared on Microsoft's website. 343 Industries, who
made Halo?
What?
Is that Halo?
Yeah, working on a next generation Halo. Apparently, they're looking for graphics developers who have experience with DirectX 11 support. That is like current high-end PC kind of stuff, not seen on any current generation consoles, thought to be in next generation. So this rumour is pointing towards a next generation Halo. Who'd have thought it? In the last episode, we may have mentioned the leaked document that was apparently online that Microsoft, that it just said what the next console was going to have, a bit of an outline of their strategies over a few years, and it was rumoured, although Microsoft's legal company pretty hastily removed it offline. But recently there's been some patent details that have been filed by Microsoft that actually seem to back up a few of those things that were mentioned in that document. Some of the things that have been mentioned are, well, most notably is a new Kinect system that is able to better scan the depth of a room, which means that you can have multiple people and it's going to be able to detect furniture better, so it's not tracking your vase on the side rather than you. Better high definition camera, an additional CPU just for multimedia, so it sounds as though you'll be able to go directly from running a game straight to watching the Bourne Ultimatum and then go back again.
Xbox, play Bourne Ultimatum.
Yeah, rather than just pressing a home button on your thing, that thing you're holding in your hand
controller
and going across, and
truly gaming experts over here.
Yeah, what's that thing called that you hold?
It's not the one with the screen, the other
Twitter
one.
Twitter at the reticule and tell us what it is. However, one thing that was missing from the patent details was any kind of mention of cloud streaming. Which, you know what, Jordan, I think people are actually listening to us. Because we've said that we think that cloud streaming isn't that great of an idea at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think Bill Gates listens to this podcast. And he said, you know what, guys, we need to change strategies. He might listen to this one and hear that people, because I doubt he pays much attention to people like Notch when they're talking about Windows 8, whereas us two nobodies in the middle of England, we know what we're talking about. Our opinion matters.
Viva
la revolution.
I don't know why I'm waving. I don't think you can see this.
So, anything to say on that? We rumoured Xbox details released, then removed by Microsoft's lawyers, and now patents seeming to back them up.
Yep, seems fairly legit.
Yep.
I mean, non-committal.
That's, well, they're rumours, aren't they? They don't have to be. Adding to the Xbox Nigel rumours, recently images of what appears to be a development kit were leaked online, and a user was trying to sell said kit for $10,000. It looks fairly nondescript kind of computer, big black box with a screen with like Durango written on it and various options, and then there's a screenshot of the... I haven't got it open anymore, but it's like the Visual Studio that this all programmed in. It has got mentions of Durango and various Kinect things in all the programming. I don't understand programming. I can't say what it means. But the specs of the system, he says, this bloke who's leaked it says it's got 8 gigabyte of RAM, although a few other people have said 12 gigabyte, and it has DirectX 11 support, 8-core processor, AMD 600 series graphics card. That sounds pretty powerful, although I don't know whether would the development kit be more powerful than the actual console?
Yeah, because like PC they need as well. RAM for extra RAM for debugging and stuff. So the specs would of the actual console would be lower than of the dev kit.
So that's
what's usually the case.
Initial thoughts of what the development kits are. This is apparently the update that was done in update to the kit that was done in February, and some industry people are saying it is legit, so onwards from the...
Onwards!
After mentioning the Xbox Nigel, it's only fair that Sony gets a look in. Again, in the last episode, we mentioned the PS3 4000, which is going to be the slimmest version of the PlayStation 3. So slim, you can practically kind of slide it under an oven. That's how thin it's going to be. It's going to be so thin that the discs you're going to put in it are going to be faster than the console itself. When you purchase it, it's up to you to figure out how they go in.
When you said PlayStation 4000, I just assumed that they'd taken up the Xbox numbering system.
What, a random number generator?
1, 2, 3, 4000.
And the next one will be the 8000. There was, as Gamescom happened, this is where our podcast seems to fall apart.
No.
It hasn't.
Super Slim's not being announced at it.
Oh, the Gamescom, I've got it written here.
Am I debunking your rumour before you saying it?
The main Sony Gamescom press conference is on August the 14th.
Yes.
However, people have been told that the stock levels are still so high on current PlayStation 3s, they're not even going to bother announcing it. There was also... Remember we mentioned that... I like bringing up past podcasts, because then it makes people have to go and listen to them. We mentioned how this new thinner console could potentially have fewer things than previous things. God's sake, this is terrible. To make it cheaper, well, there was a rumour that this new ultra-slim PS3 could only have a 16-gigabyte hard drive and that it would be using flash memory. And because of that, there were rumours that the price would be £99, which, very cheap. You know, kind of thing that families would buy for kids. But, yeah, what do you think?
This is still a rumour, and it's only rumoured to be missing Gamescom. It could still arrive. So, let's put that into perspective first. Going cheap it does seem to be...
I will just add that, remember, Microsoft are doing that £99 console that you buy on contract with...
Yes.
Was it Xbox Live? Is it 2 years you have to buy it with? So,
yeah.
I can't see the PlayStation needing a contract because the online's free. And with only a 16-gigabyte flash hard drive...
16 gig?
Oh, and it's not hasn't got a... the front-loading disc tray. It won't have that either, apparently. It's going to have a flip top, like the PlayStation 1.
Oh, and the PlayStation 2 Super Slim had that as well.
I never saw. Well, never got to use one of those, so I don't know, but...
I definitely see them bringing out a cheaper one with some definite concessions, but 16 gigs, that just... I mean, Final Fantasy 13 has like a 7 gig install on its own, so... 16 gig? ass. It's lobe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can see him trying to target, like, because, like I said earlier, everyone who wants a PS3's already got one. But if they drop it to like £100, that's an entirely different kettle of fish.
I can see the kind of people buying it, like people who, you know, dads who play on the PlayStation, the kids want to have a go and play Ben 10 Alien Force on it, and
yeah, I can.
Parents go off it for a bit, and then they can buy them this £99 console just for them to play Lego City Ultimate 6.
Yeah, and I've got like a couple of mates of mine who only play like FIFA, and that's the only game they ever play, and I can imagine them picking up a £100 console just to play like two or three games. So definitely feasible. Whether it's going to be 16 gig and whether it's going to be so cheap, I'm unsure. So non-committal today I am being.
Mm-hmm. Just an update, not related to anything. I've just noticed my postman has had a haircut. Okay, on to our final rumour. I saw this morning, and anyone who has played GTA San Andreas will remember the Epsilon program, which was on the radio stations. There was mentioning of, it's a kind of cult thing where they all say Kiflom, and it's, you know, it sounds really dodgy in game, and there's this guy and he's saying, send your money to me and can you buy happiness? Well, as a matter of fact, you can. And they, as part of the marketing behind San Andreas, actual websites were set up for a lot of these things, and this Epsilon program got a real world website, and it hasn't been updated since 2004, I think it was, but it's recently had an update and had a Twitter feed added, so it's looking as though the marketing for GTA 5 is about to begin with that kind of real world websites kind of doing that kind of thing. So yeah, it looks as though we're about to start hearing a lot more on GTA.
Nice.
And that concludes the rumours. And as we haven't mentioned it for a while, I'm just going to bring up the Sony house.
Well, Sony house needs a mention every once in a while. It's better than Sony's home.
Yep, now we've mentioned that. Onwards.
Yes, let's move from upcoming games in GTA to games of the past in the Retro Roundup. Last week, James, you were tasked with playing PC classic Wolfenstein.
Yep.
How did you get on?
I got on all right, yeah. I think the controls, I did spend a lot of time, they're very erratic for me. I did spend quite a lot of time skirting along walls, trying to avoid being shot, to the extent where, if it was real life, he would probably have had some pretty nasty hemorrhaging inside his head from the amount of time he spent grinding along the walls in that place. He had a little face at the bottom. I was expecting to be able to see cheekbones by the end of it. But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I found it quite hard, though. I don't know whether I've got, with more recent games, quite reliant on... I found it quite hard to find ammo, and I, more often than not, I'd enter a room expecting to be like, I'm the body booba, and get my gun out and just annihilate everyone, and I'll be able to fire off a maximum of about 4 rounds before realising that, oh no, I'm in trouble, and then all the Nazis kind of staggering towards me and trying to get out. Visuals, it's old, can't really say a lot. Very colourful for a war game.
You can't say anything because it's old. This is... you and I both know that's wrong.
Okay, it's colourful. Maybe that's some kind of metaphor for how war isn't. Yeah, it's... I think... Is it based on real events in any way?
Yes, I believe Robo Hitler did try and take over the world at some point.
Because, having played it, I think I've got a theory as to like the actual cause of the downfall of Nazi Germany.
Please go ahead.
Catering.
Pardon?
Catering.
Catering. How is catering the downfall of...
Because
I can't believe that our gaming podcast has turned into this, but let's carry on with it.
You can't walk more than about 10 feet without finding an unguarded roast chicken on the floor.
And you're saying that's a bad thing?
It is. What is bad for the Nazis? Because I know how long it takes and how much effort is required to cook a chicken. and there's hundreds of chickens everywhere. I'll go into a room where there'll be 4, 5, maybe even 6 roast chickens. And the effort that has gone into making them could be used fortifying the front lines and putting tank traps down and mines. Instead, they're just busy cooking and just leaving it out. So they're running out of food in the end. People like me, who are trying to like end the whole thing, can just run in, get some more energy, heal. It's the chickens, I'm telling you.
So you're saying that if they had guarded their chickens, that they would have won the war?
They could have either guarded the chickens or not been so...
Obsessed
with roast dinners to begin with.
Well, as an Englishman, I can say that roast dinners need to be obsessed about.
Yes, but not in every single room. Over and over again. Why? They could have... All the energy that has been used to roast about 2 dozen chickens, surely you could use that to melt down some metal to make a tank track or something like that. I don't get it.
Well, I have no comments to make on this, so I'm just going to move on quickly. So, your overall verdict on the game?
Well, you know, it's colourful because it's old. And you'll get that response from you. It's viewed towards roast dinners, you know. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Can't beat a good roast chicken.
Grand. This week, after you've been playing PC, we're going to be moving on to the moving back to the SNES. And a game which actually I've been playing this week, Wild Guns. Have you heard of it before? Let's just see.
No. This might be because of playing Toe Jam and Earl. Is that Wild spelt in any crazy way? You know, with a Y and an E?
And the Guns is spelt with an S as well, you'll be happy to know.
I'm a bit disappointed. I was expecting, you know...
Not everything in the 90s was rad. This was released in 1994, and it was a third-person shooter which heavily featured robot cowboys.
Do the robot cowboys have parachute pants?
No, but they do have, like, a Stetson and bandoliers. Yeah, I was going to choose Cabal, which is another early third-person shooter, but I decided Robot Cowboys. If that's not going to get you to like the game, I do not know what is.
Can I just give it a thumbs up now?
Yeah. So, Wild Guns for the SNES is what you're going to be playing.
Nice.
Nice indeed. And... as I said, that was what I was playing this week, so...
We might as
well move on to Game of the Week. And I'll let you kick things off. What have you been playing this week, James?
Well, did we introduce ourselves at the beginning of this podcast?
No, we'll introduce ourselves at the end. What have you been playing this week, James?
I've been playing 2 games.
Dun, dun, dun...
Well, the first was Crysis, and I started that, I believe I mentioned it in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like many other Philistines, I only bought the PC version because I had a computer that was powerful enough to run it. So I kind of bought it more of a rite of passage.
It's a benchmark test.
Something to get my PC a chance to stretch his legs. And I played it on easy, and I got bored very easily. I think I got to one bit where there was tanks, and I managed to deplete most of my ammo and gave up. But on PlayStation, I played it on the hardest difficulty, and the harder the difficulty you play it on, it really does get better and better and better. Because you've got...
most games do.
Even when you've got maximum armour, you can still only take like 3 or 4 hits before dying. So you really have to start switching between all these different things you can do, like... ultimate speed and strength and invisibility and hiding and stuff, and it's just really good. But something else that I'm probably going to get a lot of stick for from PC gamers is, I think from playing both, it works better on a console, control wise.
Is this Crysis 1?
Yeah.
What are you playing on?
PS3.
Was it released on PS3? I didn't know the first one was.
Yeah. And
do you think it controls better on PlayStation?
Yeah, I honestly say that because you can switch between the different modes the suit has, like the armour and the speed and stuff, that quickly with the buttons on the controller. that it just feels a lot more fluid, like when you're hopping over fences and changing modes and avoiding getting shot, and it just feels better. People are going to hate me for that.
Might one suggest that it's because you're more used to playing PlayStation
games?
No,
it's just better. It's just better. That's a fact. It's not an opinion.
All right, I'm just suggesting it.
So, yep, I'm right, as per usual. Finally finished Crysis. It's all right. Story-wise, I don't feel particularly inclined to play the second one, I'll say. I think the first game was good, but I don't feel any way, you know, that I need to play the second one.
Second one's not very good.
Well, there you go, you just helped me.
I know
even
a lot
more.
Of people say it is, but they're wrong, so.
And so, yeah, Crysis, yeah, it's alright. And I've also finished Splinter Cell HD, which, you know, I like the stealth stuff's cool, and when you've got the night vision on, you're hiding in corners waiting for people to walk past, and then you turn the night vision goggles off and realise that you are incredibly obvious. The most minute hint of a shadow, and you go completely invisible. It's broad daylight, and behind a bin it's kind of slightly darker. The kind of shade you'd sit in on a warm day, just to rest your weary legs for a moment. You go in that, you're completely invisible. The stuff it manages to get away with is insane, but story's alright, it's pretty good.
Would you prefer it to be nigh on impossible, or for, like, minor shade to cast the darkest of shadows?
I want it to be consistent, alright? Because one thing is, it's with the enemies, right, it's realistic in the sense that all your bosses are all human, so therefore they take human damage. You only need to shoot, like, the main guy you're following all the way through the game, he's shooting once and he's dead. And then you've got these generals come in, you just kill them as you would anyone else. And then a game that brings that level of realism in, and then allows me to kind of stand behind a door that's slightly ajar and be completely hidden. It's hacking me off.
Okay.
But other than that, it's pretty good. Especially because of the trophies, because you have to try and do the entire game without raising an alert, without killing more than 3 people per level, and then without using medical kits, and it starts getting really tense. But because you can hide behind, like, a lamppost in broad daylight, it's alright.
You got it. So this game was released on PlayStation 2 originally. Or was it the Xbox? But yeah.
Was it Xbox and PC?
Can't remember, to be honest. But yeah, long time ago. So,
what have you been playing?
I've actually been going even further back in time than yourself. I've played a couple of games, but the first one I played was Inversion, which came out like a month ago for PlayStation, PC and Xbox. And it is possibly the most generic game I've ever played. A third-person shooter that steals wholesale from every other third-person shooter I've played. Its core mechanic, the one that drew me to the game, was that you can use gravity as a weapon.
Okay, sounds interesting.
Yes, but it only ever uses it in the way that you can, like, lift enemies out of cover. So it's basically, you can use the tactic, use gravity pop, as I like to call it,
mm-hmm.
Shoot the enemy, move on to the next, and that's just, you've won the game if you do that. And also, it uses in a similar way to the gravity gun in Half-Life, where you can pick up and throw things from the environment, which sounds grand, and it is, but what it does is you first have to pop up the object before you can pick it up. So it just makes no sense, and it works poorly. It just reminded me of loads of other games that have had an interesting mechanic, but have just not used it to its full potential. Fracture comes to mind immediately, which you could use Earth as a weapon. You can control the ground.
Fairly recent, that one, it sounds.
No, that's like 2008, I think.
Oh, okay, right.
There was also Singularity, which you could switch backwards and forwards in time, but they give you an interesting mechanic, but just don't push it to its potential. And you're like, why? Is that too much? You think you're going to scare off customers by that? I just don't understand it. So that annoyed me, that game, so I decided to go back to play on the SNES. Played a bit of Mega Man X, which is still one of the greatest games of all time.
Very hard, though.
That's Mega Man 2 you played. Mega Man X is difficult, but it's more accommodating. And I also played Wild Arms, which I've described to you, and it's what you're going to be playing next week.
Wild Arms?
Yes.
Like this?
Oh, sorry, Wild Guns, not Wild Arms. Wild Arms was a PlayStation 1 RPG, if my memory serves correct. So I've been playing Wild Guns, and I've also revisited my Mega Drive and started playing a bit of Aladdin. It brings back to mind, I know we complain a lot about new video games, and it is fun, but what older games had as an advantage was the simplicity. I mean, they just had like one core mechanic which they can
E.T.
just utilize. We're not bringing E.T. up in this conversation. And everything was focused around... I mean, from the gameplay to the graphics to the music, they didn't have much to work with, so they had to use it to its full potential, which is like the exact opposite of what Inversion did. It came up with a cool mechanic, but it just couldn't fulfill it. So yeah, I've been getting a bit nostalgic this week.
Just now a good time to introduce ourselves.
Yes, I'm Jordez, and with me is Nicknameless James.
Hello.
So I think that nicely sums up the game of the week. And we're just going to round things
up. Special.
And we're just going to round things off with what's been going on at the Reticule. Yeah, so it's been busy over at the Reticule recently. We've got reviews of Ship Simulator's Extremes, Lego Batman 2, and you'll be happy to know that I've been doing a bit of writing, and I've got a review for Rainbow Moon, which you'll be able to see soon.
Sounds fairly masculine.
Yes. We've got a couple of interviews with indie developers. We've got Timo Gerken from Ubisoft, who are talking about Settlers Online, and two Kyles on Little Inferno and Tomorrow Corporation. So check those out. And finally, the guys of the Reticule have been a bit cheeky because they've been stealing from our podcast.
What? Are you? Why? What is there to steal from our podcast?
They stole our Game of the Week section. And I don't know why I'm saying they, because I write for this section as well.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. Beautifully named Our Week in Games. There's been two so far. I didn't write in the first one, so it's not very... But in the second one, you get to hear about all the stuff at the Reticule. Nick's been playing Amnesia. Chris has been on Batman. I talk a bit more about Inversion. And Ed Crab has been talking about Dota 2. So
I'm livid right now.
Just think, James, we are pioneers.
True. We did inspire Microsoft to kind of drop the cloud stuff, so
where we walk, others shall follow.
Yeah,
and
the sheep shall follow us as we shepherd them unto the internet.
And now they're gonna have to follow us because we're walking off this recording schedule, because that's the end of the podcast. As always, if you enjoyed this, go look at thereticule.com, where you can find the podcast first of all, or on iTunes, where you can subscribe. I've been Jordez. With me has been...
me, James. Olympic special.
And this has been the Reticule Presents Installing to Disc. Any last words, James?
Well, I'm just about to go and have some lunch, so my last word today will be ham.
If I would have been Olympics. But
Olympic ham!
I shall, as always, go with goodbye.